with Bad Mormons.
I'm Charlotte.
I'm Mandy. And we have a special guest with us today.
I'm James.
Yeah! Woo!
James is such a troublemaker, and we're so, so excited to hear some of his stories. So stay tuned for that. You guys are in for a real fucking treat.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you remember James from the 419 episode we did.
Yeah, I did call in for that. That was good.
Yeah. Right? I was very drunk for that, but I remember we had a great time.
Right. I remember it being fun, and then I remember not remembering things, and I went to bed.
Oh, so disclaimer, if this is your first time listening to our podcast, this is a podcast where we get very drunk.
And we talk about fun things and not fun things.
Stupid stories.
And people who suck.
sums it up. So yeah, we're here to make you laugh. We're here to entertain your pants off. And let's have a cheers. To you, sir. Thank you for being on our show this week.
We're drinking Woodford Reserve whiskey and wine because we're smart.
Oh, beauty. Oh, you just took a shot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
This never goes bad for us. It always ends up in a really high quality recording.
It's not
like
true.
I need to take a solidarity shot with you.
Right. What are you drinking?
Little Richie.
Ooh.
Richie.
Is it an IPA?
So, yeah, it's an Aussie one from outside of Sydney, Mountain Culture.
Bad.
I don't know if you know this, but our listeners surely do know this by now, but I fucking love Australia.
Yeah, well, I know.
I love everything about it. I love everyone there. I fucking love it. I'm going to move there someday.
You should. It's awesome here. I love it. I've never so been back to the US.
Yeah, it's so great. I've only been there once and I'm like plotting my eventual move there. So good on you, James.
Yeah, thanks.
Okay. Do we have anything to repent for? Oh, did you want to get a shot?
Repent for James not having a shot.
And repent for me not knowing which episode we're on. Hold on, please hold.
If I had to guess, I'd say it's 91.
94,
I
think. Oh, wow. Episode 94.
All right. Cheers.
Season infinity. We also have this bottle of wine. It's the my old roommate in Hawaii, Chad. He used to work for a wine distributor, and he would bring this one home all the time. It's like, I don't know. It's not like super cheap, but it's not super expensive.
It's called the Roth Estate Heritage Red Wine?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
And, like David Lee Roth,
yes.
Oh, nice. Exactly. Yeah.
if you like a cab, that's a good one.
With a kick, high kick.
With some leopard pants and a high kick. All right, sir. I have a real treat for you before we get started telling stories.
Yeah.
We play this fun game for our listeners who may not know. We play a game called
The Mormon Trail Cookbook.
I'm so excited.
One of our listeners sent this to us in the mail, and it's become a regular staple of our weekly programming for you. I don't think we've done this one. However, we have done a few blacked out episodes. So
keep in mind, she'll read you what it is, what's in it, and then you're going to find the perfect alcoholic beverage to pair with it.
Perfect.
And so this book is also broken up into categories. There's recipes that are like preparing to go on the Mormon trail. There's recipes to make while you're on the trail heading to Zion. And then there's recipes to make once you're at the end of it. I don't know where this one falls, but I just opened it up and I was like, what the fuck? So we're going to read this one.
Every time I hear about the Mormon Trail cookbook, I think like the Oregon Trail. And all I can think of is like dysentery and depression.
Yeah. I mean, I think it was probably similar,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was.
Except for they went from, where'd they go from? Iowa to Salt Lake City?
Something like that. Yeah.
It still sounds like dysentery and depression.
Yeah. No, nobody wants that. Okay, nobody, here's something else nobody wants. It's called Stew Pot Pigeons. Wait, did we do this one?
No.
Okay.
It doesn't sound familiar.
Stew Pot Pigeons. This is a dish that you're going to pair with an alcoholic beverage. First of all, you need gizzards and livers of pigeons, grated ham, any amount you wish.
You can grate ham?
Apparently on the Mormon Trail. 2 cups of breadcrumbs, herbs, your choice amount, 6 hard-boiled egg yolks. What the fuck? 6 pigeons, water, butter, flour, and an onion. So you you stew the gizzards and livers until tender. Chop the livers fine, mix with the grated ham, breadcrumbs, and herbs. Make into a force meat.
Sure.
A what?
A hot dog?
A force meat.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know that for a fact, but that's what I would guess. Like, you make a hot dog.
Okay. You make, put your fucking chopped livers and grated ham into a hot dog mold. Rolling it around in the egg yolk. But we said hard-boiled egg yolk, so
what is going on here?
This isn't like a creamy egg yolk. Anyways, and stuff that in the pigeons. Swear to God, I'm not making this up. Place birds in a stew pan with water and a little butter. Make a gravy of the gizzards chopped fine, flour and onion. Pour over the pigeons. Stew gently until done.
So it's like a creamy... What is that, finch? What is that, the game hen?
Pigeon.
Well, no, but like, I'm trying to envision Cornish it in my head. Like a corn, so envision a Cornish hen, but it's a pigeon. And you're stuffing it with this hot dog meat. That's rolled around in hard-boiled eggs.
James is holding up a picture of some forced meat.
It's forced meat. Okay. Forced meat sounds like it leads to like, in prison. Don't force your meat on me.
I also didn't read anything about taking any feathers off of any.
No, I'm assuming that you clean it, right?
I don't like it.
Just putting it inside of it, I don't think you're just putting it like in the anus, right? Like
maybe I should have.
Well, there's forced meat involved.
Right. Well, there you go.
No, that's what it says.
Okay.
Yeah. No, it's real.
Cocktail.
Jesus, this is complicated. So you probably need a complicated cocktail, right? There's probably some forcing that needs to go into your drink as well as your meat. So. What's the ultimate, like, I can't think of the name of it all of a sudden. Oh, Long Island iced tea. Isn't that the graveyard of this alcohol? You're just force meeting a bunch of alcohol into a glass and handing it to someone. Maybe it's cold, maybe it's not. And you're drunk when you're done.
Right. I think you're right.
Things are forced for sure.
So I think the Long Island iced tea is the force meat of drinks.
1,000% agree with you. 1,000%.
I'm kind of repeating this to everybody who ever orders a Long Island iced tea. Like, force drink.
I feel like I've read that book cover to cover, and I can't believe I never saw that recipe before.
It's the gift that keeps giving.
It's a really special day.
Yeah, just show me this thing. It's like, what did it say? I'll read it. He's embarrassed. Not shaking the skirt. I want it forced.
Wait, hold on. I can't believe that we're in a situation where we have somebody with like a legitimate Australian accent who won't speak to us on our podcast. I'm like personally offended.
I was at the airport just recently and I was told that I sounded South African.
Go on.
He's from fucking Brisbane. He's from Brizzy. He's Aussie as fuck.
Yeah. Oh, I'm getting a stool. Okay.
Yes.
Game on.
He's got a beer too.
I gotta have Cheers. A beverage.
Then the rules.
To our new guest. What was your name? I forgot.
Az. Yeah.
Welcome to our podcast. It's a real serious production.
And he's here now as he doesn't.
Right.
So usually about this point, we go and talk about how bad politics in America suck. Yeah. And I really want to know what it's like to not have to worry about that where you are.
Oh, well, there's dipshittery here too.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, we've got ScoMo.
ScoMo.
Yeah. And he's a pain in the ass. You know, and the Liberal Party's annoying, and they really like, you know, mining the shit out of stuff and disenfranchising Aboriginal folk. So I mean, you know, we've got our problems here too, keep that in mind. But you know what we don't have? We don't have Trump. We don't have the crazy fucking Republicans. We don't have, okay, this is how I sum up the difference between American and Australian politics. Mm-hmm. In Australia, things like corruption and nepotism is actually something you have to resign over.
Nice.
That's nice.
Yeah, it's kind of cool. You see that happen here periodically. You don't see that there.
We just have this like butt fuckery. I don't even know how else to say it. There's like a handful of, I mean, the Republican Party is like fucking whack and off their shit. But there's like a group there's a group of crazy people who are just not doing anything except for saying the most outlandish shit they can to get attention, and people are eating it up, and everyone's acting like the biggest asshole you've ever met. It's like a competition
that who can be the biggest asshole, you know. Yeah. And you do. You got your Gates, and you got your like mud butt, and mm-hmm. you Madison, whatever her name is. Yeah. You know. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're legit terrible people. You know, I almost feel like the Republican Party at this point needs to come out and be like, we can still do terrible things without actually acting like we're terrible. You know that, right?
You have to fucking broadcast it.
Yeah.
We were just talking to your client.
How everyone's like, people are so, I don't know if it's the same where you guys are, but people, because like we both work in like the service industry, people are so awful. Like right. Customers are
They'll treat
awful.
You like garbage and like scream at you or just say things that are purposely hurtful. And I don't know why, like either they want something for free or it just makes them feel better to treat other people like garbage. But like, it never used to be that bad or as constant. And I feel like Trump made it so people could act like real fucking pieces of shit.
Yeah, he's like, I'm a fucking asshole. Everyone else, follow my lead. Yeah. They did. Yeah,
it's really not like that here at all.
That's nice. So nice.
Well, you know, and also like, you know, our minimum wage is over $20 an hour, and like people like they're not relying on tips, so they can tell people to go fuck themselves.
Right. Oh, yeah, I remember that. I was like, that was a real hard thing to wrap my brain around, not tipping. And
well, you don't have to. Everybody's paid well.
Yeah, yeah, right. They're like, that's offensive. Don't tip. Right. Me. I'm not poor. Yeah. I'm not a beggar.
Yeah. Do I look like I'm on the street? No. I'm pouring you a drink. Pay for your drink and get the fuck out of the way so the next person can get.
Exactly. I'm glad you like it there. I really liked it. Yeah. Fuck yeah.
What's next?
I haven't really, honestly, I didn't look up any politics shit or anything this week, but I saw that you have a long list of stories, and I imagine that they're insanely amazing. So I feel like we should just jump right into that. Do you think?
We can skip cool shit and this motherfucker this week.
Are you guys good with that? Because I just didn't prepare. That's the only reason.
Well, that and there's actually, you know, to be fair, horrible things are constantly going on, but there's no new horrible things. There's just the constant horrible things that have yet to be addressed or fixed, right?
Real quick. So what kind of bullshit has happened this week over there? Yeah, you're always up on this.
Oh, fuck. I mean, there's the whole like Supreme Court
thing. Yeah, right. So like, you know, yeah, and what did I see, like putting a coup in couple,
right? Yeah Well, apparently Madison Hawthorne, he's the one
Cawthorn.
That Cawthorn, oh, whatever.
Oh, no, wait, how are you guys not talking about Madison Cawthorn and the coke and
I was gonna say like cocaine orgies.
Do you know about this?
I don't know about
this. I read about it on Twitter, but I don't know the details. I just know that he was on a podcast or something and he had said it. So the liberals are coming and trying to use his words against him because he was in cocaine orgies.
Like, I don't know how, like, I mean, he said he was invited, that people in the GOP, like acting politicians, like currently elected officials, were inviting him to coke parties with orgies.
Look, all I have to say about that is, like, if you want to go to a cocaine fuel orgy, good for you.
Right.
If you want to be an asshole and like also go to cocaine fueled orgies and like try to oppress other people with your politics, then you can get fucked. You can have some horse meat right in your face.
Yes.
And it got better because because the GOP House leadership like no, he's like, and then talked to him and he's like, well, it was exaggerating.
Like, how do you exaggerate a cocaine fueled orgy?
Like, which part were you exaggerating there? Like, it was an orgy, it wasn't cocaine fueled, or it was only a little cocaine, and like
he did reference key bumping, so.
I imagine the orgy was fake and it was just him in a basement by himself doing cocaine, wishing he was
Yeah, with a couple blow-up dolls or something.
Yeah, honestly, this has been my boss quit, so I have to like pretend I'm in charge, and it's sucking all my time and energy. My job is getting in the way of my life, and I hate it.
So what you're saying is your job's turning into forcemeat.
Yes. Yeah, yes. I don't want it. I don't want that.
Nobody wants force meat.
Nobody wants it. I just found this. I don't know if this is old or not, but I just found a list of like all of these Republican people and what they're accused of. And I don't know all of them, but
I don't think we have time for that.
It's like a Brady Bunch layout.
I'll just post it on social media. But let's just say Matt Gaetz is on there for sure.
Hold on, I know this. Okay, so Roy Moore was the guy who was running for some sort of office. He didn't end up getting in because he was accused of pedophilia, but now he's running again, even though he didn't win in 2018.
Oh, I was going to say that earlier with the force meat thing. I know that's terrible. I'm sorry. But these fucking guys are all the ones who are fucking kitty diddling and whatever, all this terrible shit. They're the ones who are like, family values and don't diddle kitties and, you know, fucking each other in bathroom stalls and doing coke with blow up dolls. Anyways.
Right. Yeah. No, these are all child porn, sexual assault, pedophile, raping a child. You know, one just like Jim Jordan likes to watch. Oh, he was the one from what was it, Pennsylvania with the they call him Jim Jordan G-Y. Yeah. Because of the scandal at
Ohio State.
Yeah. And there was a football coach that was molesting the players, and he apparently, I don't know if he let it slide.
He knew about it, and he didn't do anything about it. And now he's a
representative of something.
Yeah.
He's a piece of shit is what he
decisions.
Is.
Decisions.
Yeah.
People are taking out billboards in the heartland, and they're calling him GYM, Jim Jordan, not fit for Congress. And they show it's like human traffic victims in the background, but like it's like they're sad and bound up and like, but they're in football jerseys. Anyways, it's amazing. I'll find a picture of that and I'll also post it on social media.
Right? Oh, I'm so glad I live here now.
No, I was gonna say that the doing cocaine with the blow up dolls begs the question: Are the blow up dolls also doing the cocaine?
Well, I think like the best places to do cocaine is on the ass and the tits, and the blow up dolls probably have that, so you have that going on.
That makes sense.
You know.
Oh my god! You need to buy a blow up doll and make. Do a photo shoot.
The best part is if the nostrils, if you put like little holes there, and then you can actually with your erect penis put a line of cocaine and then have the blow up doll and squeeze it just right, it'll also do some blow.
It took me a minute to get where you were going, but I got there. I like it.
I really want to do a photo shoot now.
No.
Wait a minute. With a blow up doll and some cocaine and some. Yeah. Yeah. All right. Yeah, I support this.
I mean, I'm not going to waste any cocaine on a blow up doll, but you know, flower will work just the same.
Whatever they use in Hollywood, right?
It's fine.
Cocaine. It's cocaine.
It's cocaine. Let's get real.
Oh, wait. You know what? I do have something for cool shit. We're just going to go all out of order. One of our patrons, Siobhan, sent me this picture, and it's basically just like a little like kids drawing that says, are your children playing with Lucifer's testicles? I don't know if you can see that.
Oh, yeah, you're getting the light on.
Beep, beep, beep. Anyways, I'll have to show it to you. Oh, there we go.
Oh, like the eggs, like, you know, like.
For yeah. But the account that it comes from is called Go Home Bible. It's an Instagram account. At Go Home Bible, and their bio reads, "Go home, Bible, you're drunk." And it's a podcast about the Bible and how it is low-key kind of drunk. And I just discovered it. Like, she sent this to me a couple hours ago, but I really want to listen to their podcast because I think it'll be great. So I'm just going to put that in cool shit.
Rad.
Yeah.
Jesus. Then-
So should we listen to a word from our sponsors and then come back and get into story time?
Yeah, but which sponsor should we choose? It's such a special occasion. Ooh. Oh, I know.
Wives 3 and 5 have you in the doghouse? Wives 2 and 4 experiencing Shark Week in their garments? Wife 1 just looking so much like, old wife number 1? Have we got the solution for you? Why not give Prophets of Porno Polygamy Chatline a call? It's a choose-your-own-adventure here on Pop's Chatline. You select the number of wives you want to chat with, sit back, and let the fun begin. When one of your pop wives just isn't cutting the casserole, push the number on your touch-tone telephone to switch over to your next dream wife. Best part? None of the wives on the Prophets for Porno Chatline are over 14. No nagging, and anything goes. The Prophets of Porno Chatline costs a nominal 11% tithing of your monthly income. But keep in mind, the more money you make, the more the babies bake. So call us now at 1-888-4-MORONI. That number again is 1-888-466-7664. Prophets of Porno is part of Heavenly Father's plan in 4 states.
And we're back.
Wasn't that great?
Always so a pleasure.
Unless you're listening on YouTube, in which case you don't get to hear the commercial, but you should just be listening on Apple Podcasts anyway.
Right.
Thanks.
Thanks. So yeah, stories. For those who don't know, how do you and James know each other?
Oh, yeah. How do we know each other?
I was trying to figure this out. I think it goes back to like 94 or 95.
Yeah.
And I think I met you through like the Gene / Patricia.
Yep.
So I can't remember how it all came about. And we met each other then, and then I was gone for a while. But then I came back because I did like the Appalachian Trail, lived on the Olympic Peninsula and that. And then I started living in the 419. And that's when we really started hanging out a bunch.
Yeah. 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 Cause I moved to Bellingham in 93. And then I ended up like moving back for a while and then coming back again. But I met Carrie first of all, and that's how I got introduced all those people.
That's how I met you because through like, that's right. It wasn't Gina, it was through Greg.
Yeah, Greg and Gabe.
And that crew.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah, but they were living across the street from Gene and Patricia and that at the time.
Oh, that's right. That's how that shit happened.
And they had the trampoline out there. Yeah. And I was over there. And I remember there was acid involved at times.
Yeah.
Mushrooms and lots of drinking.
Yeah. There's nothing like a trampoline to like bring a neighborhood together. Trampoline and acid. Yeah, that was a long time ago.
It was so long ago, but so good. Yeah. No, I'm really glad to have that you're somebody that's in my life, Mandy.
Agreed. Fist bump. Yeah, there's not a whole lot of people that I'm like still super like friends with or even talk to from that long ago. And I'm glad you're one of them.
Likewise. So the first story I want to tell you is this involved actually Gabe and Greg and some of that crew, right?
Mm-hmm.
And like, I remember at some point, all of us hanging out and suddenly we have professional jobs and could afford things and all that kind of stuff as happens at some point in your life where mm-hmm. you're like, oh, wait, I'm not just destitute anymore. I can actually like enjoy things and like go on like, you know, vacations and shit.
I think I was working at Taco Time then, so I'm not going to call that a professional job.
Oh, no, I'm talking much later. This is much later. This story. I don't even know where you were at the time. I was still living in Bellingham, and you might have been still like friends living there before. Did you move to San Francisco from Bellingham?
I did, yeah. It was 2007.
Yeah. So I think, yeah, so this would have been around probably that time. So probably right before you actually left. And we didn't really hang out at that point, you know?
Yeah.
Who cares? But, you know, Gabe and Greg and I, because we had Axe Wound and that kind of stuff. Axe Wound will be another story.
So what's that? Is it Axe Wound a band?
Yeah. It wasn't just, hold on. It wasn't just a band. It was the fucking band.
Okay. Also, for those who are listening but couldn't see, James's face just went like almost like a sigh of like, yeah, it was.
There was costumes. There was fake blood. Yeah. Like guar?
Yeah.
Fake blood, basically.
Like a basement garage guar.
Yeah. Sweet. Yeah. Sweet.
Low budget guar. It wasn't even like, you know, like you have B movies. There's something below that, like basement porn guar or something. Like that. There's probably some forced meat involved.
Well, I think I know what the name of this episode is going to be.
So anyways, we had all decided, because we all like drink beer and we all like to go to like microbreweries and that kind of stuff and experience that. And there's certain towns in the world that really like up the ante in that and have multiple breweries. And you can go there for a weekend and, you know, stumble your way around without having to drive anywhere, going from brewery to brewery to brewery, just drinking tons of beer and just being idiots. And so we decided we were going to do that one year. The first year we did it, we went to Eugene and we decided to call it a beergrimage. And we called it a beergrimage because, well, we're not really into pills. And so we went to Eugene the first year. We did a few different places. And then we decided we were going to go to Bend, Oregon. Now, Bree and I actually lived in Bend, Oregon. Bree, my wife, lived in Bend, Oregon for a little bit. That's a different story. Not going to go into that at the moment. But the Bend's got a ton of breweries, and it's known for that. And it's kind of a cool town. It's a little higher elevation, east of the Cascades, sort of the transition zone between the Cascade Mountains where the volcanoes are all at and the desert area. And so some of the crew went there to go climb a couple of volcanoes. But inevitably we all met up for this one weekend. We rented a house there to go around and like drink all this beer. And then we drank a lot of beer.
Loved it.
Later into that afternoon, the Saturday afternoon, after we had gone to multiple breweries and were already in stumble mode, we went to this Bend Brewery and had some dinner because you got to keep some fuel in you because you're going to drink beer and you got to be able to function. So we had that and then left there. We're like, okay, we're going to go to Deschutes. We saved Deschutes for later, not because that was really, really what we wanted to go. We started running out of breweries we could walk to. So we were like, okay, well, let's go to Deschutes. Fuck it. They're huge. They're like old time. Let's go see what they're about. Mm-hmm. Between us at Bend Brewing and Deschutes Brewing was literally a Sir Mix-a-Lot concert. Out in the street. Which we did not know about because we're morons and didn't realize Sir Mix was actually there. And so walk out of the brewery.
I'm thinking in my head right now, I like big butts on
a can. What's that lie? So we walk out and like, that sounds familiar. What's going on? And I realize it's like, my posse's on Broadway. You know? And that's what I was like, is that Sir Mix? We asked him, I was like, yeah, Sir Mix is just playing down the block. And we realized it's right in between where we want to go. Get there, huge crowd, everyone's dancing, Sir Mix is rapping, there's all this shit going on. And like most of the crew decides, you know, so we watched Sir Mix for a few songs, right? And it was like, we need more beer. I'm like, okay, of course we do. Because you're at that point in the night, you know, when you get to the point where you've been drinking long enough that like, if I don't keep drinking, I'm going to either pass out or something else is going to happen that's like not right. So I just need to just.
Uh-oh, you froze.
Can you still hear me? It says my ear.
Yeah, back now. Yeah. What were you saying?
So you need more beer, because if you didn't drink more beer, you're either going to pass out or something bad would happen.
You don't have any cocaine dealers where you're at, because you're new in town.
I know. And the blow-up dolls are still back at the place. In the basement where they belong. With Matt Gaetz. Who is it?
Madison Coffin.
They both apply though.
Who cares? So anyways, so most of the crew decides they're going to go all the way around the block. I decide, fuck that. I don't need to go through around the block. I'm going to go straight through this crowd because I can see where the brewery is. I don't need to go like on some like journey around the block. I can just flush through this crowd. I've been to so many shows. I know exactly how to do this.
I was in fucking Axe Wound, motherfuckers.
Yeah. Some of those Axe Wound assholes decided to go around the block. What's the matter with them? So anyways, so one of the guys I'm with, his name's Dan. No last names. And he's right behind me. And he decides he's going to, like, James seems to know what he's doing. I'm going to follow him. Nobody should do that. So I'm just like working my way through this crowd as I do, just sliding, weaving through, doing a little bit of Axl Rose motion to like get through the crowd. Eventually I get to the spot where like I could probably take like even something stupid like a slice of pizza and hit like or mix with it. He's like right there. I'm right next to the table. I can see exactly where I'm going. You know, I'm so close. If I were to like, if there was no crowd involved, it would take me like 45 seconds to walk to the door of the brewery that I'm trying to get to. And I'm trying to squeeze my way through and this guy turns around, he's not having it. Not having it at all. And so he starts yelling at me and he's like in my face. I can't even hear what he's saying. All I'm hearing is. I'm like, I don't know what this guy's saying. He looks really aggro. I just want to go over here. And so I try to explain to him as best as I can. Look, I don't want your spot. I'm just trying to get over there. I'm meeting some friends. I'm just trying to get some beer. Can you let me through? Meanwhile, his buddy sees what's going on, decides that he needs to go from like, you know, aggro level, whatever he was already at, to aggro level. Like he goes, he needs to go force meat level.
No.
He like gets in my face. And now he's like yelling at me. He's literally spitting on me. Thank God this is pre-COVID because he probably had it. Who knows what he probably has. But anyways, force meat. Force meat is what he had. So he's doing the whole thing. You know, you ever see that whole thing where there's like the one dude and the other guy and there's like, they're using the finger and they're like, poking the finger into the chest. He's literally doing this to me.
Oh, what a douche.
Poking his finger into my chest, going like, I don't even know what he's saying. He's just screaming and spitting. And all I'm hearing is, I'm like, fuck, man. And like, I don't know what to do. Dan's right.
He's probably a proud boy. One of those fucking redneck racist assholes.
He easily could be. We're in Central Oregon.
You know, there you go.
Yeah, easily could be. So he's like being a douche, right? And so like eventually there's like a moment between songs and I go up to him, you're gonna be my model, face me. And I go to him like this. And so for you that are not being able to watch this, I'm going right up to his ear. And I'm gonna yell into his ear. I'm not gonna yell into your ear. I'm gonna yell into this guy's ear because it's still loud, even though it's in between songs. And I go to him like this. You're looking at me, and I'm like, "Hey, if I kiss you, will it make you feel better?"
What the fuck did you say?
So, as soon as the words left my mouth. Which were, I'll repeat them. If I kissed you, will it make you feel better? I'm thinking, oh, fuck. What have I done?
I'm a dead man.
One of three things are about to happen right now. I'm going to get punched. I'm going to get kissed. Or option C, I don't know what that's going to be.
Force me.
I don't want any of these things to happen. And then, so he looks at me and he's like, what the fuck did you just say? And I was like, look, dude, I don't want your spot. I'm just trying to get to this brewery over here. We're just trying to get through the crowd so we can get to the street. And he goes, that's what we're trying to do. And I'm like, really? I was like, dude, we're on the same team. And he's like, yeah. I go, we can do this together. And he's like, yeah. And I was like, okay. And the and like my friend's like, what's going on? His friend's like, what's going on? We like all work our way through this crowd. We get to the other side. The brewery's right there. We're giving each other high fives. Everything's great. Right? I go to the brewery with Dan. We meet up with the X-Wing crew and Gene and everybody else. And we're like drinking beers. Everything's great. Who knows what the fuck happened to those guys? Later on, we go to another brewery, right? And like some of the crew ends up going back to the place that we rented, but we're hanging out there. And then, weirdly enough, it turns out Dan didn't have any idea what was going on there. All he saw was it looked like I was about to get into a fight. And I'm telling this story that I just told you at this other bar that said it was a brewery. It wasn't a brewery. Who cares? We were just probably should have ordered a force meet at that point. So we were at this place, and I'm telling Gene, and I can't remember who else is there. Oh no, we ended up like there was like we commandeered this table with the people that were already there, and we're like, we're joining you, and they're like, yeah, sure. So like then they started hearing our craziness, and I was explaining what had happened there, and Dan's like, what did happen there? So I told him all these things that occurred from his perspective. Apparently, he's behind me. We're cruising along. Everything's great. Suddenly he's like, oh fuck, James, what have you done? Like, I'm about to get into a fight. I guess I better get ready to fight. And he goes, and next thing you know, we're on the other side and giving each other high fives. And as soon as I told him the whole business about, like, you know, if I kiss you, will it make you feel better? He fucking died. He's like crying, laughing. Gene, the people we just met are crying, laughing.
Oh, that's great. What a douche still though.
Who acts like that? I mean, come on.
I'd be like, well, if you were trying to get over there, then what are you stopping and talking to me for, buddy?
Yeah.
Can you be in your basement with some like blow up dolls and
not poking people in their fucking chest?
Right.
Yeah.
I seem to remember when we first started hanging out, we drank a lot of Obsidian Stout. Am I remembering that right?
Oh yeah.
It was like all Deschutes all day. It was like Obsidian Stout, Kilt Lifter, Mirror Pond. I started at, how old was I? Too young to be drinking Obsidian Stout to get drunk.
You were hanging out with us. I would apologize, but I wouldn't mean it. I like to feel like in my own small way, I contributed to your delinquency.
We contributed to each other's delinquency.
100% true. 100% true. So can I tell one more?
Yeah. Totally. We should let Az tell one too.
Oh, we went through this earlier. I don't really have any.
He pretends he doesn't have good stories, but he fucking does.
Well, hold on. If you have a friend who has a story that you want to tell about them, not yourself, you could do that too.
Nana just wants to listen to you talk.
I really just want to hear you talk. Wow.
I'd love to tell you guys some stories, but you know, I don't have any cool ones like James does.
This is how the podcast started. So we actually probably should have prefaced this at the very beginning, but we are already drunk.
Right.
So the two of us grew up Mormon. So we have a whole bunch of brothers and sisters. And then it started out by telling stories about like just stupid shit we did as kids, like getting a tattoo when I was 15 or like holding hands on a metal roof in a lightning storm so that we could see the lightning better, or, you know, like shit like that.
Things that you tell stories that, God, that was stupid.
You're like, how are you not dead? So I don't know. If you want to just think, if you have any like stories you want to share.
We'll go into another James story.
In a later iteration, I'd be keen on joining again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, no pressure.
Come back up to Darwin and hang out with James and maybe we can do another iteration.
Right.
Or vice versa. Yeah.
Yeah, don't twist my arm. We'll make that shit happen.
I'll make sure to do some stupid shit in the meantime.
Perfect.
I'll be there for that.
Yeah. I feel like if you're hanging out with James, you kind of, that's sort of built into the friendship.
It's going to eventually happen, right?
Yeah. It's going to happen. Yeah.
As long as it doesn't involve any bitey logs or anything like that.
Yeah.
Bitey logs, it's a crock.
I thought we were talking about love kisses again.
Oh, love kisses. So I can do, so you're talking about like crazy stuff from high school. I got a couple good ones from my high school, if you want to hear that period.
Yes. Totally. We want it all.
All right. So your choices are, because we can play the choice game here.
Choose your own adventure.
Yeah. Your choices are Satanic Panic.
Love it.
Or flooding my high school.
I want Satanic Panic.
Satanic Panic?
Yeah.
Okay. Does that work?
Yeah.
Satanic Panic.
All right. So I grew up in a little town on the Olympic Peninsula called Port Townsend. And Port Townsend had this old like World War I / World War II era fort there called Fort Warden. And it was full of these old bunkers in that. Now, flash forward to modern times, they cut off a lot of the old like weird caverns and stuff like that that they had built back then. But when I was a kid, they were all open.
Okay.
You could wander around in them and do all kinds of crazy stuff. It's a lot more controlled now. I may have had something to do with why they decided to close some of those down. Maybe not. So we would, it started out innocently enough, right? So they had these, like the way the bunkers were built, they would have a structure on the inside of the overall bunker. And the bunker was designed, if it was hit by like an artillery shell from like a boat from Japan or something like that in World War II or whatever, and hit it, it might collapse the outside of the bunker, but wouldn't collapse the inside of the bunker because there was like a structure built inside another structure, right? Mm-hmm. In between those two structures was like a pretty good sized crawl space that if you're like some like skinny 15-year-old kid, you could squeeze into this crawl space by like climbing up these pipes. This was a pretty significant tourist activity. People come there to explore the old like forts and stuff like that, and they would go into this one bunker that was the easiest one to get to. The other ones you had to hike up to and stuff like that. We messed around in those too, but the main one, the fun one that messed around with, was where all the tourists went. So they would go there, and you could hang out in this crawl space between the upper bunker zone and like the little like rooms that were built underneath them. And there's like all these like dark tunnels that people would walk through exploring these things. Well, of course, we decided that that meant that you would be up there hiding and like scare them.
Yes, right. Perfect.
So at first it would start out with things like, you know, screaming at them, ah, you know, and they go, oh, and they'd scream and like come and like we'd laugh, ha, 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 ha. And then we started moving on to that. I remember we probably shortly after the Goonies, where like he tells the whole throw up scene. And so we would like buy like these sodas and stuff like that. And we'd hang out up there and we'd like, oh, I feel sick. Oh, and it was like flash all over and like hit somebody in the face and stuff like that. So then we decided like, okay, we can do better than that. So we ended up getting like these like, you know, robes, like bath robes basically, right? But in the dark, you don't know what they are. And we put hoods on and we lit candles and like with like paint pentagrams and stuff like that. And like create these like fake satanic stuff that was happening though, right? And like people would go there and they would freak out and we'd like pop around the corner wearing these robes and like, oh, Satan. And they'd be like, oh, and stuff like that. And we did this for like a number of weeks. And it was like, you know, all summer long, just like cracking up, like, oh yeah, these people would come and they think that they're Satan worshipers and it's so good. And we'd like, we'd play the beginning. I mean, we're like kids, right? So we're playing like the beginning of What's that Motley Crue album? Shout at the Devil. So we got a boombox up there and we're playing that, and we got candles and like fake blood and stuff. And people are like, this is pre-axe wound stuff, isn't it?
I was just going to say, I see where it came from. I see the inspiration.
So school starts up again. We're like all hanging out, and there's a special assembly. And we all have to go to the special assembly, and we all sit there. And the people come out, and they're, you know, the teachers and the principal, and they have some special guests there. Who knows? Probably from
Corey Povich.
Yeah,
no, wait, Geraldo. What was the boot camp dude? What's his name? I think it was a Jenny Jones spinoff.
Yeah, but Ricky Lake was also doing the Satanic Panic. Sorry, we hijacked your story. Keep going.
I want to think it was Ricky Lake. Let's just pretend it's Ricky Lake.
Yeah,
Ricky
Lake. Montel.
Yeah. We should get better over time, right? So it's Ricky Lake that's there. And the principal, vice principal, and these teachers. And they're all like telling us. And next thing you know, they start talking about like the Satan worshiping going on at Fort Worth. And I'm sitting with my two friends, and we're both like this. Okay. And it's like this big deal. And then, you know, and because like you both, like, you know, I grew up in like, you know, a religious family. You go to church on Sunday, and they're talking about like Fort Worth, there's Satan worshipers in our community and all this other kind of stuff. So it was a big joke, but it's like, and it's in the newspaper.
I feel like it was such a good time to be a teenager. Like, Satanic Panic was so good. You just, I mean, they handed it to you on a silver platter. What were you going to do with it? Great. My friend Erica has some really good Satanic Panic stories too. Like, she's from the theater, and she, like, I mean, production value off the charts for that shit.
Nice.
I wish I was as creative as she was.
Oh, it's begging for it. You know, you got all the candles, you got the fake blood, you know, if you got some chicken feathers, you're really okay.
Or pigeon feathers.
Yeah.
Let's not discount pigeon feathers.
Maybe some horse meat.
You're too young for foolish meat.
Not if you're Mormon.
That's true.
True. See, I didn't get into the Satanic Panic because, you know, being gothic in high school when I was a kid, you know, was not normal, but it wasn't that big of a deal. And then Columbine happened and then ruined it for everybody.
Columbine ruined it for
everybody. Right. Everything for everyone.
I felt like we were in such a bubble in Utah. You couldn't imagine anything like that happening anywhere else in the world, like not in California or, you know, anywhere like that, anywhere that was like a real place outside of the bubble.
In the same place, Warren, they had this big old underground water tank. And if you knew about it, you could go into it, and it was creepy as fuck, but it was like all echoey in there. So we would bring like music instruments or like stereos and like party in there and stuff like that. It was all creepy and dark and like weird. But you know, everyone was like a little bit weird about like exploring it much. One day we decided to go all the way to the end of this like big giant like thing. We get to the end of it, and there's like what basically looks like a satanic altar with like the burnt candles and like feathers all over the place and stuff like that. And we're like, did you do this? No. No one else here did this? No. These might be real Satan worshipers. Get the fuck out of here.
And in reality, it's like the kids from the grade younger than you that were like
trying to top us,
watching what you were doing.
Right?
Totally was.
Well, I know for myself, like what would end up happening is I'd get not caught doing something, but like I would, let's say I see an altar or whatever, I'd get freaked out by it, right? I'd be like, oh good. And then everybody would laugh and you'd find out it wasn't real. But then that gave you the idea that you should do it too. So then, you know, it's just a perpetual thing that goes where people are like, oh no. And then they're like, oh, well, this isn't real. I'm going to do it too, because I'm going to freak somebody else out. Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's always fun too.
Mm-hmm. We're planning a trip back to Utah for my dad's, well, for Father's Day, because we kind of missed his birthday because of COVID. Mm-hmm. So I feel like maybe we should do something fun for the podcast, go to the location and do some satanic panic shit and like do a Zoom call with you.
Swear to
maybe, maybe a seance or something. You know?
Yeah. You know what's going to end up happening? We're going to end up getting abducted by aliens. Just saying, probably. That's what's going to happen.
One time there's a real Satan worshiper, we're going to get human sacrificed.
All that's going to happen is some like spaceship's going to come, pull you up and you're going to force me.
I'm trying to think of a way that that could just like roll easily into being excellent to each other, but there's nothing excellent about force me.
Don't force your meat on people. How about that? That's how you be excellent to people.
If you do want to force your meat on people,
head on over to Apple Podcasts
and leave us a review. We're on all the social medias,
Facebook, LinkedIn,
Tinder.
Wait. Oh, we should have a Tinder.
Send us your stories at fagbadmormons@gmail.com. Also, you can become a patron and see the video of this wonderful audio recording you're listening to. They'll only cost you as little as $3 a month and as much as $1 billion.
That's where we cap it. YouTube, go over there, watch it, subscribe, share with friends.
And you can get our official merch, which is in our Tee Public store, which is on our Linktree, which is on all of our social medias.
Thanks for hanging out with us, James. You're rad.
As a patron, I have to say, if you're not part of the patron group, I don't know what you're doing.
Right? It's cheaper than tithing.
It's way more fun than church.
It costs less than all the stuff that I had to buy for my satanic panic.